Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm going to push the button on our next guest. We've been heavy into football. Even mixed in a little hockey last hour. I haven't got all that much hoops talk in. We will do just that here. Senior writer, Bleacher Report, his podcast, 448, is a must-listen for all NBA fans. Always brings something to the table when he joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Howard Beck from Bleacher Report with us. How are you, Howard?
Doing all right, Jody Mac. How are you?
Good. How's the new year treating you so far?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay.
You? Good?
Let's see. I'm still breathing. That's the only thing
right.
I'm banking on.
Start.
Upright. That's my goal each and every single day when I get out of the bed. I want to go around the NBA with you, but there's a team I specifically want to start with, and that's a team playing right now, trailing down in Philadelphia, where the Sixers are very good at home, and that's the L.A. Lakers. They're the best team in the Western Conference, have been since the first week of the season, maybe not first day because they lost that opener to the Clippers, but have been dynamite ever since. LeBron's being LeBron again. We know the Anthony Davis addition was huge, but this was a sub-500 team this year that is now the best team in the Western Conference. Why do I think Frank Vogel isn't getting enough credit?
Because when you're the coach of a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are two of the top five players in the league, you're expected to have the best or one of the best teams in the NBA. I mean, it's not that he's done nothing, but you know, the leap from sub-500 to potentially championship team and certainly contender is largely due to a single transaction, and that was the trade for Anthony Davis. You know, LeBron did not stop being LeBron last season. I know a lot of people wanted to go that direction, but he missed a month with the groin, and it sunk the Lakers, and the trade talks sunk the Lakers, and lack of cohesive talent or even sufficient talent sunk the Lakers. But they were always just one superstar away from being contenders again, and the trade for Anthony Davis did that, and suddenly a lot of these guys that seemed like ill-fitting pieces last season look a lot better. Because that's what happens when you have two superstars to play off of, especially two who are as talented and as perfectly fitting as LeBron and Anthony Davis are with each other. So to your point, I think Frank Vogel has done a great job of establishing a defensive identity with this team. I think everybody knew that offensively they'd be devastating with LeBron and Anthony Davis leading the way and some capable pieces around them. But defensively, you know, they've been one of the best teams in the NBA all season, and I think seeing that in that even that first couple of weeks, that first month, and seeing them, you know, fairly well sustain it, that's the indication that, you know, this team is to be taken seriously, and that the coaching staff, yes, has something to do with that, because you know your defense, it's a lot about, you know, how your players buy in, but it certainly starts with scheme.
If the Lakers had made all the transactions they made, and Anthony Davis certainly the biggest of them all, but the other moves that they made have actually added something. I don't know where Dwight Howard has refound his game, but he has, and he's a great role player now that he's not doesn't have to be the superstar player that he once was. All those other moves get made. Are you telling me that if Luke Walton was still coaching this team, the Lakers would be 36-9?
I mean, I don't know how to deal in a hypothetical like that, to be honest. Frank Vogel was their third choice. You know, they wanted Tyronn Lue. That didn't work out. They chased Monty Williams. That didn't work out. Tyronn Lue has, you know, coached a championship team, and Monty Williams is a very good veteran coach, and those guys would both have done a great job with this team. And Luke Walton, for whatever criticisms people may want to lob his way, it's not like he had much of a chance in L.A. You know, he took over first a very young and rebuilding team that had no established identity and had some nice and interesting talent, but nobody who really was ready to lead them anywhere. And, you know, he was fired before he got the chance to have a team that has LeBron and Anthony Davis together. So you know, everybody looks better when you've got two top five players. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying Luke Walton's as good as Frank Vogel. I'm not saying – I don't know, you know, if one is distinctly better than the other. Vogel certainly has more experience and I think did a phenomenal job with those Pacers teams at the start of his head coaching career. He struggled terribly in Orlando, and I think people started to wonder what he was, you know, whether the Indiana experience was some kind of aberration. Credit Frank Vogel for continuing to grow as a coach and for, I think, redeeming himself with this team. But as is always the case with the NBA, it's sometimes hard to distinguish between the success of the talent that you have versus the leadership of the coach and how much credit to give them.
Fair enough. Howard Beck, our guest, talking NBA here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Along those lines, the team that's beating them right now, they're up 33-25, time running out here in the first quarter, the 76ers. I said before this year started, it's kind of a make-or-break year for Brett Brown, that he lived through the process and was the perfect guy to just keep it together while they're attempting to acquire all this talent and suffer through 18, 19, 21 seasons. Finally got NBA, legit team, got close to five, made the playoffs 2 years running, but now 2 years running, they've been bounced in the second round. And they've got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and they made their commitment to Tobias Harris, and they are, some people picked them to be the team to beat in the East. I didn't quite understand that. I thought it was Milwaukee, but certainly could very well be the second best team. He needs to get further than the second round. Does he not? Would you not say this is a hot seat year for Brett Brown and playoff achievement is going to decide whether he gets to keep his job or not?
Hard to say. And I really, one thing I try to avoid is speculating on people's job security. I will tell you that around the league, there's certainly a strong sense that matches yours, that the postseason for Philly will say a lot about whether Brett Brown is still the coach. I don't know, you know, if that's an accurate read by the rest of the league or not, but it is certainly a common theme. I think he's done a good job with this team. I think to look at last year and say, well, bounce in the second round again, sure, bounce in the second round based on whatever it was, four, five, six bounces, literally, of Kawhi Leonard's shot. They were that close to being in the conference finals. And who's to say that they couldn't have beaten Milwaukee? So, you know, it's sometimes there's some luck involved here. And I think the Sixers are underachieving at the moment just in the regular season here. But, you know, let's look at what that team did in the offseason, too. They let Jimmy Butler walk. And Jimmy Butler's a much better player than Tobias Harris. That's not an insult to Tobias Harris, who's a very fine ball player. Jimmy Butler is better. And Jimmy Butler is showing what he's made of, again, in what he's doing with that Miami team that at the moment looks like it could be maybe a bit of a dark horse contender in the East. And the Sixers have struggled. Now, Embiid's been hurt. That's a part of it. But they were kind of all over the map even before he got hurt. And, you know, again, like this is a team where when you let a Jimmy Butler and a J.J. Redick walk away, where they didn't really get enough reinforcements in terms of shooting around this current roster, I think if there are some shortcomings here, a lot of it has to do with decisions made by the front office about personnel. And, you know, you can't judge this team without acknowledging that.
Speaking of reinforcements and the Sixers management who will make the decisions on that personnel, no, they're active in talks to upgrade their roster, specifically add shooting. Do you think the Sixers can get their hands on a guy who can knock down threes between now and the trade deadline, which is now only about 12 days away?
I don't know. Nothing substantive that I've heard. And, you know, this is kind of a weird trade season. A lot of people around the league feel like there's not going to be a ton of activity just because of where teams are in terms of their cap, in terms of teams trying to save space for 2021. I don't know that the Sixers have a lot to deal. And so that's a bit of an issue as well. I'm sure they'll be active in terms of trying to find something. I don't know that they're going to land a significant piece.
Utah Jazz jumping back over to the Western Conference with the Lakers in a second are up to 32-13. And people were telling me that they thought the Jazz could finish in the top four in the Western Conference before the season started. And I, between you and I thought they were overstating it. And most of them were tying it to the Mike Conley acquisition, which I said, I don't know that Mike Conley's going to be the guy to lift them to those high heights. But it's been as much about Bogdanovich and short-term Jordan Clarkson coming in and some damn good coaching and a nice deep bench. That's the reason why I think the Jazz are presently in second place in the West. How about you?
Well, you know, interestingly, they kind of got their season back on track while Mike Conley was out. I think that's due to a bunch of things, including the fact that, you know, Donovan Mitchell simply, you know, found himself in a good rhythm and was ready to be more than just a, let me rephrase that. Donovan Mitchell was already really, really good. And I initially thought, and I think certainly the Jazz were banking on the idea that Donovan Mitchell, his next level of stardom would be having a great playmaker like Mike Conley next to him so that Donovan Mitchell could concentrate on the scoring aspect, even though he's also a great ball handler. I think what happened with Mike Conley out was that Donovan Mitchell, showing again the growth that he's shown over his first couple seasons, again found another level in terms of being able to find the right balance in playmaking and scoring, and he's been fantastic for that team. Joe Ingles got back to the starting lineup. He's a great secondary playmaker for them. A lot of things fell into place. Bogdanovich has been a great pickup for them as well. And now, you know, with Conley working his way back into the mix there, we'll see how far they can take this. But Conley was always, you know, to me, a tricky acquisition because he's a great point guard. He's great at both ends. He certainly should bolster them in all kinds of ways. But Donovan Mitchell is so great with the ball in his hands that it's, you know, you wonder where the best balance there is. And maybe they'll alternate these guys. You know, Mike Conley's been coming off the bench, you know, and so there's, you know, are there ways to maximize each of their talents and get the best out of Conley? We'll see. We'll see how it goes. They're an interesting team. I think they absolutely have the ability to still be a top four team in the West. Whether they could knock off, you know, the Lakers and Clippers, who are the clear front runners, is a different matter.
Agreed. We're talking to Howard Beck with us here on CBS Sports Radio. I asked you about the trade deadline. You said might be a little slow on the activity. I fear you're right. I hope we're both wrong, and we do have a bunch of deals. We got one yesterday, which I got to tell you, I don't understand a little bit. Willie Cauley-Stein on a team-friendly contract gets nothing more in return than a second-round pick. You can't even get a conditional one for a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein. I think he's a dynamite defender. I know he's nothing on offense. He's a guy who hits the boards. If you're matching up against another team who's got flexible guys on offense, he can play anywhere from the 2 to the 5. I thought he was a great signing by the Warriors. Now, the Warriors' season went off the rails because of injuries and everything else, but I thought he was a great role player signed for him. They give up on him at this stage, and all they get back is a 2? I thought he was had more value around the league than that. What the hell happened there?
Willie Cauley-Stein during his Sacramento years was known as a very erratic player who didn't bring it every night. And he put up some numbers, and he's certainly got some ability and size and all that. But the league was not that high on him, which is how the Warriors ended up getting him for a pretty, as you pointed out, friendly contract in the first place. And, you know, he's had his injury issues as well. Was that the most the market could provide for him? Is that as, you know, good as it was going to get? I guess so. You know, if the Warriors had waited a little bit, could they have gotten more? I don't know. I think it's an indication of how the league sees him right now. And the Warriors also had some other concerns that probably led to them moving him, specifically, you know, some luxury tax concerns, roster flexibility concerns. I don't blame them for moving on from him. It's hard to know sometimes whether a guy had any better value, especially a guy like him who's, you know, really not been, you know, burning down, you know, the rest of the league.
Understood. But I just like his defensive skills. Maybe I like him more than everybody else, but that won't, not a first. All-star selection starters announced Thursday night. Any issues from Howard Beck?
No, none. The starters in the All-Star game, the balloting rarely produces any real head scratchers. Occasionally, maybe, but this year, I think everybody did fine. I think the question usually comes in the reserves, which were chosen by the coaches, and that's where we start seeing, you know, snubs and the you know, hurt feelings and the how could that happen? And we'll see what the coaches do when they file their ballots. We'll see the results of that next Thursday.
All right, and I'll tell you one of the things that will, I almost can guarantee that next Saturday I'll be talking about this, because I think that the Boston Celtics have three players deserving of All-Star status. I think Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and of course the starter who they have, Kemba Walker, all deserve to be on the All-Stars. You don't usually get three guys from one team, and you don't usually get three guys from one team that, like, right now they're currently fourth in the East. And I know you wait 4 days and they could be second in the East, or you wait to 4 days, they could be sixth in the East. It's that close between everybody else, two through six behind the Bucks. But I think of all three of those guys as having All-Star first staffs. Am I overstating it?
No, look, they're all deserving. I don't think they're all going to make it, and I'm not going to be offended if any of them doesn't make it. You know, Kemba's obviously in, and he's very deserving. You're right. You don't get three unless you're a really dominant team like the, you know, the Warriors the last 5 years. It's rare to get three. I expect that they'll probably get two. The question will be which of those two guys, and if the coaches, it's like the coaches confer on this, right? They're not sitting in a room deciding Jaylen or Jason.
Right.
They're all filing their own ballots, or they're assigning the ballots to their assistant coaches most of the time. And you know, some will go for Jaylen potentially, and some might go for Jason. And that split between the two could maybe keep them both off for all we know. There's a lot of competition for those reserve spots.
Good stuff, Howard. We appreciate it whenever you come on. His podcast, Full 48, must listen for you NBA fans. Check him out on Bleacher Report, senior NBA writer Howard Beck with us. Howard, always a pleasure. Thanks, bud.
You got it, Jody. Thank you.
It is Howard Beck here with us on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.